and welcome to this week's Shoot the Moon podcast. Broadcasting live and direct from Revenant Rocket World Headquarters in Bloomington, Minnesota. As you know, Revenant Rocket is the world's premier growth strategy and M&A advisory firm for tech-enabled services companies. With me today, I have the pleasure of having my partners, Ryan Barnett and Matt Lockhart. Welcome, gentlemen.
And thank you for having us. We are, as we were sort of chatting before we hit the record button, we're winding down on summer up here in Minnesota, which means that it's time for the Great Minnesota Get Together, otherwise known as the Minnesota State Fair. So if you ever have the opportunity to come to Minnesota, come at the end of summer and go to the fair, because it's kind of world renowned, actually. So, Ryan, what's happening? What are we chatting about?
Well, before we get into that, I had the opportunity to get to the Great Get Together, and again, encourage you to go there. The new foods this year include a waffle hot dog, so a waffle fried hot dog with nacho cheese and a pickle. So, and there's lots of opportunities to get out and expand your horizons at the fair. This week, we're talking about a concept of something we run into within deal structure. And oftentimes in deal structure, if you think about transaction, there's typically a component to a deal getting done that's cash at close. And oftentimes there's things like a seller note, and we've done podcasts on seller notes and such. There might be some kind of earnout provision. One thing that we want to talk about today is the concept of rolling equity for a seller, and also what that might mean for a buyer, and how that equity component can really create a very interesting win-win if everyone's on board for selling in. And so I'd love to talk and just dig into Mike and Matt. You've both worked with a number of deals in this concept, and would love to get us going. So, Mike, what is rolling equity? What's the concept here?
Yeah, the best way to think about rolling equity is that you're exchanging the value of some of your equity in your firm for equity in a bigger firm. And so think about a fair exchange of the value of that equity. It's commonly used with private equity firms that are building a platform or have built the platform and are looking to, often use the term roll up or build a consolidated book of business that they will exit at a future date. Not atypical for a private equity firm to, hold and build a group of companies together to enhance its value. And it's frankly, it's multiple for which it's paid for that equity over about a 5-year to 7-year period. And then they'll sell that whole new company to someone else for, higher multiple than they essentially acquired maybe your business or merged with your business. And so there's some benefits in participating in that equity as you continue to get a capital partner in your business to not only accelerate the value of that equity, but also participate in a bigger firm. So sometimes the term in the industry is used called getting a second bite of the apple. And that essentially means that you're going to get someone's going to acquire usually the majority of your equity as part of a transaction. You're going to roll some of yours into the new entity and be an owner in that new entity as well, albeit a minority owner, but an owner. And then you will execute a transaction later where you'll be able to sell that equity or stock, if you will, in the new business.
No, that's a great way to get us started. Matt, if I was to turn it over to you, what's the ideal scenario for a seller to start considering the potentials of rolling equity?
Yeah, so let's back up, and we like to go back to some of the common topics that we talk about, because it's sort of you got to build from the foundation. And I think that first foundation is the concept of selling in or selling out. right? And so selling out is, look, I want to retire as quickly as possible, or I want to go do something else with in my next chapter once I sell my business. And so how short of a transition period can I have? Conversely, the concept of selling in is that you want to participate actively and help create value in the new entity. And so I think that's the first, you know, step is the idea of rolling equity goes hand in hand with the idea of selling in with a partner. And so, you know, what are some of the scenarios that where it makes sense? Well, oftentimes some of our clients and recognize that they've hit a growth barrier or a growth hurdle and that they may not have had the experience in jumping over that hurdle, and or they recognize that it's going to take a significant investment in order to jump over that hurdle and create a new level of scale. And they recognize that, you know, selecting the right partner may help them move past that and jump over that hurdle, as well as, you know, see the benefits of helping the overall new company, that consolidated, you know, company grow. And, it, you know, there's more than just adding revenue in that. It's really about, you know, growing the overall organization and scale of the organization. And so if an owner recognizes that they may have come up to a growth hurdle that it's difficult for them to get over, well, they may see the risk to their employee base. You know, if there's stagnation, then oftentimes employees don't see the opportunity for themselves to grow. And then all of a sudden those employees are at risk and the overall, you know, health of the business is at risk. You know, it kind of goes with that topic, you know, that idea that if you're not growing, you're dying. and so I think that that's one of the key considerations that owners who are interested in selling in, you know, should think about. And also personally for an, you know, maybe a founder-led business or who and the individual wants a bigger opportunity overall, and they see an opportunity for themselves to grow personally and professionally by being with a larger entity. They're able to manage more, grow more, and do more. And so, you know, those I think are some of the sort of the early key considerations that owners should think about in the concept of quote unquote rolling equity.
Yeah. So if you're in a spot in which you want to really grow with the company, I love that concept of selling in, and you're looking for that next step and that next venture. And maybe your goals is to help, really solidify your client base and future client base and expand your own offerings. It's a good way to gain alignment. Mike, can you talk a little bit about why that alignment matters to the buying companies and how this equity helps create that alignment?
Well, certainly if you've built a business, let's say you're, you know, built a material business and now you're going to, you know, find a capital partner to grow more effectively. You know, they want you definitely leaning in, as Matt mentions, and selling in to, you know, be able to further enhance what you've built sort of organically. That expertise and travel knowledge in the business is critical to a capital partner really being able to scale and grow their investment. Likewise, it's critical for you to grow your investment because you're investing alongside by rolling equity this capital partner. And you all, in the end, want to maximize that return on investment. You want to maximize that journey for that return. Otherwise, you wouldn't do it, right? You wouldn't come together and form this partnership if you didn't both bring unique skills and capital and intellectual capital as well as, you know, monetary investment to the table. it's harder for a capital partner to maximize that return if you're not leaning in and providing thought leadership as a way to continue the desire to grow and growth trajectory along with the capital. You know, we often use the term, you know, smart money and dumb money, right? So that legacy and history helps that investment be smart money. And it helps it become an opportunity where 1 + 1 = 3, 4, or 5. And it generally is pretty critical if you're going to roll equity. You generally want to be participating at some level, if not full time in a work endeavor throughout that investment period, at least in an advisory capacity beyond some reasonable transition. You know, no different than, I guess, if you were to invest a material amount of money in any kind of company. Right. If you're a material investor in a public company, you know, oftentimes that company will offer you, or you can receive a board seat to be able to provide advice and counsel that helps shape your investment and the return. So I think in many ways you need to think of it the same way.
I'll open this to either of you. Do you have a sense of scale of what's possible for an owner who is able to roll equity? You know, we've seen some pretty aggressive numbers from some of our PE sponsored companies that choose this path. Can you help provide a little guidance on the potential here?
Mike, why don't you kick us off and then I'll follow on.
Yeah, I mean, we've certainly seen, you know, very material returns where people can double and triple that equity value rollover within 5 years, in some cases even more. A lot of it has to do with the growth goals of the combined entity and the level of investment associated with the capital partner. But we've seen many, many situations where, you know, let's say you're running a $5 or $10 million business and you're acquired, or you're, and I like to use the term just joined with a capital partner versus acquired, because, you know, oftentimes we'll roll over 30%, 20 to 30% equity in a rollover situation. And that's a material amount of your enterprise value or the value of your company. And so it's not like you're selling your firm per se. In that case, you're selling in, not selling out, as Matt points out. So when you join with a capital partner, it is not uncommon for the value or the multiple of profit contribution to double or in some cases even triple over the period that you are partnered with that capital partner. So for the sake of argument, let's say you rolled over a couple million dollars worth of equity, that $2 million or $3 million, let's say $2 million in this example, could turn into $4 or $6 million within a 5 year period. And that's a pretty good return rate. You know, obviously if you roll more equity and take more risk and you, you know, have a great capital partner and maybe you're doing more work, the returns can be even higher. So it is a very interesting model that has proven out over the period of time. I think, you know, the important component there is that you got to make sure that you have the right capital partner, that they, your objectives are aligned, and that you are, have a great governance structure and sort of reporting structure built into the business so that you can all achieve the goals that you set out to achieve.
Yeah, I'll add, so a couple of things to think about is the concept of multiple arbitrage. And when I say multiple arbitrage, you know, firms are valued in this space most often based upon a multiplier of EBITDA. And so the first thing to consider in the scenario that Mike talked about, which is oftentimes what we see, is a financial partner, a private equity firm or the like, who is doing a roll-up strategy. And if your multiple, you know, say is 8 times EBITDA, and which is, you know, that's a sort of a common baseline for a medium-sized, you know, tech services firm. When EBITDA increases, then there is a natural gain to the multiplier that is applied to that EBITDA. So, you know, and there's hurdles. Say, you know, $5 million of EBITDA gets a boost of multiple. $10 million of EBITDA gets a real significant boost in EBITDA. 15, you know, so on and so forth, right? So size matters. And so if your firm is, say, you're a $3 million EBITDA firm, great company, super profitable, and you've sold for $8 million, then in 3, 4, 5 years, the combined firm, right, sells for 12, 13, 14 times EBITDA. Well, that's a natural gain in investment, right? Right there. It's just math, if you will, on the investment that you make. And then the other thing that I'd throw in here is if you can find those opportunities where 1 + 1 = 4 or 5 or 6, right? Then you are seeing an opportunity for increased organic growth in addition to consolidation, right? As well as if that strategic nature of coming together demonstrates that you're of overall higher value in the marketplace strategically, well, then you can get an even additional gain. And so it is oftentimes realistic to think that your second bite at the apple, your second gain, can and at times be equal to your first gain. Right. Not always, but it's not unrealistic. And we've certainly seen it a number of times. So it's all about the factors that Mike talked about in terms of the strategic alignment, the cultural and personal alignment. But again, there's some of it is just math.
Really well said. And it helps. I love this concept, that multiple arbitrage, and it's a great concept. You know, I want to go back to something, Mike, that you mentioned, and you've said this before. You know, equity is oftentimes a very expensive form of currency. In this case, we're suggesting that it can be a very helpful currency to gain alignment. I just want to get your thoughts on how should buyers and sellers treat equity in this form or as a currency for future growth? And what are the risks of that?
Well, it's a good point, Ryan. I mean, when I think about equity, you know, oftentimes when you think about using equity as currency, sometimes you think about using it in the context of buying another firm. And in that case, it is the most expensive form of currency. And the reason for that is because of the value accretion associated with using it as capital to purchase another company. Typically, you wouldn't do that unless there was 1 + 1 = 3. And typically, that value creation is shared for sure with a seller. And I think in a small firm that doesn't have a material capital reserve, it can be pretty darn expensive. I think the rules are different, frankly, if you're a seller and you're looking at a capital partner that has a material amount of capital that can accelerate your growth well beyond what you might be able to do as a small firm. And when I say a small firm, I'd say really any firm under about $50 million that's self-capitalized. Or they've, you know, not taken in any outside investment. You know, if you're partnering with a very material capital partner, the opportunities become amazing to get that arbitrage and additional capital accretion. So from that perspective, a seller's perspective with the right partner, equity can be a very strong tool in your ability to enhance that investment or grow that investment. Matter of fact, you know, far faster than if you were to invest it in the broader stock market or
even, you know, be an angel investor in early, you know, early stake businesses, because that's such a high risk potential. So then it really comes to, you know, a risk versus reward equation. And, you know, is there a risk that you're going to align with a capital partner and it's not going to work out? Sure. But, you know, you have risk. You have 100% of the risk running your business today that it might not work out, right? That it might occur. The economy might change. I think many business owners, a lot of us think, well, there's not really material risk to our investment, our business. But, you know, running small companies is tough, right? And there is material risk. You definitely decentralize that risk by aligning, you know, with a partner that can help you get to a place together that neither of you can get to apart. And I think that becomes a business case in itself to understand why you should do it. And I think you have to look at it like all things and all investments, you know, to understand and balance the risk versus reward. It's not all sunshine and moonbeams. There are, you know, private equity firms that pull back or, you know, don't make the right investment or can't execute on a strategy. You know, once they've partnered with you on capital, and, you know, that could be, you know, bad, right? It could be a 1+1=1. I think you always, as a seller of equity, need to protect your interest in that equity and ask that in a rollover scenario, you need to know how you're going to be able to monetize that equity. Oftentimes, the best structures include put and call rights associated with that equity, so that in the event that, you know, it's not working out 2 years, 3 years, 4, 5, 7 years down the road, you have a way to get out fair value, at least on what that equity is worth at the time. And, you know, we do see some sellers overlook that small detail. They want to partner with a capital partner. They don't look at that and actually think about, you know, sort of the downside risk. But we would encourage you, and we certainly advise our clients that we work with on these transactions, to make sure you're contemplating, you know, certainly plan for it to go really, really well. But, you know, also understand that there needs to be some planning and risk mitigation associated with if it doesn't go so well.
Yeah, well said.
Yeah, the other thing that I'll add to it, I think it's important, right, is it's this concept of growing together again. So those financial firms want that proverbial skin in the game from owners. And I think that's important. And you do get the benefits of being able to have a monetary event and then the opportunity for a secondary monetary event. But, you know, oftentimes we see that there's, you know, some other motivations in play. A firm, you know, may, so we should introduce the concept of being a platform, right? The platform is the first of many companies in a roll-up strategy. And, you know, that can be super interesting for an owner who knows that they've got a great management team and they really want to put the sort of the turbo boosters on the growth of their firm to give all of their people additional opportunities. So, you know, we often, you know, talk about the monetary aspects, but you know, there's oftentimes equally important values that can be obtained, again, by partnering with the right growth partner.
Yes, right. And kind of last question I have here, and I'll open up after that, but what kind of, if you're going to be rolling your equity and you're performing in this new company, it seems like there might be a level of due diligence that you might not see done traditionally. So, you know, a traditional sale where it's maybe cash only, a buyer does not typically offer things like financials. However, if you're rolling equity, it seems like there might be some reciprocal due diligence from both the buyer and the seller. Mike, maybe you can run me through how that changes and what a buyer might need to expect from a seller in that case.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that, you know,
I think any seller needs to do material or should be thinking about their buyer's diligence beyond the capacity to pay. If there's any currency that's being involved, that's not cash at close, right? I mean, if someone's going to, you're going to do an earnout or a seller note or equity rollover, you know, you need to have confidence that your buyer is financially sound, that they have a history of making these types of investments successfully, and that there's a high likelihood that they're going to be able to do what they say they're going to do. And so it's just vetting those things. And I think being able to, you know, if you're looking at a capital partner, you know, looking at their history of where they've made investments in platforms and exited them, and talking to some of those former, those entrepreneurs that started those companies about their experience would be an important level of diligence. I think understanding the numbers around their capital, you know, and the returns that they've seen in sort of many of their platforms over the years is also very important. And so you can have a feel for sort of how do they manage their investments in companies like yours while they are an active participant. Do they put strategic advisors on your board? Do they manage, they have good management rigor and discipline about how they come to, they show up, right? I mean, all those things need to be vetted. And I think you need to be thinking about them beyond, you know, probably just the capacity to meet their financial obligations. And, you know, all deals, whether you're looking at a capital partner or not, need to line up, you know, as we've said, strategically, culturally, and financially. These are no exceptions. And I think in particular, when you're looking to grow with a capital partner and invest with a capital partner, you want to make sure that those things are significantly aligned. And, you know, you explore how you manage adversity when it comes, because certainly, you know, we can't predict the future. There may be economic headwinds that cause your goals to get upended. There may be other things that occur. You know, they could sell the whole portfolio to another firm. I mean, there's just lots of things that could occur that I think you want to be thinking a little bit about. It's, you know, part of the reason why I think you need a good partner, a good M&A partner, if you're going to be evaluating this type of transaction, so that they can help guide you through that reciprocal diligence and sort of advise you on sort of where the landmines might exist and what sort of information you need to make an informed decision.
Yeah, great topic here, guys. And it's an important one for buyers and sellers to really dig into. You know, what I heard today is that, you know, equity rollover is really exchanging the value of equity in a seller's firm and the value of the combined entity. And it's really ideally suited for a transaction where there's a potential for another transaction. It's great for companies that are and management teams that are what we call selling in. And there's that partner for future growth. If your company's in a growth hurdle or you're looking for that next growing, smashing through a growth plateau, it's a nice way to gain cash at close, get a little, you know, take a few chips off the table, but really move that to future performance and get to an enterprise value that's a number kind of getting to your number that you may not be able to hit today. There's really, rolling equity gains alignment like few other deal structures can. It's a great opportunity for everyone to maximize their investments. And what I heard that investments can be, you know, often 2 to 3 times, as much as the enterprise value, but, we've seen much, much, much higher. And that concept of marble, multiple arbitrage is a fascinating one is, you continue to grow and earn towards that second bite of the apple. And then the last thing I need to we heard was you'll need to learn how to monetize equity that you've received and put some borders around what that means for your company and successfully have that equity component be something in your corner and that buyers should expect some reciprocal due diligence in the process. Matt, did I miss anything?
As you were talking, I was like, well, I think he's nailed it. So good job. Over to you, Mike.
Thanks, guys. Well, it's the proverbial time to tie a ribbon on it for this week's podcast. We hope you enjoyed the topic and were able to glean a few nuggets or pearls of wisdom, as we like to call them. Please tune in next week when we'll unpack and explore more topics as it relates to helping you manage, grow, and run your tech-enabled services business. With that, we'll call it a day. Take care and make it a great week.